What is up, you rogues and peasant slaves? Welcome to No Holds Barred. Before we launch in, I'm going to hitch up with the word of the week. This is where we take a word that is Shakespearean, off-putting, confusing, troubling, makes you hate Shakespeare because you have no idea what he's saying when you read it. Break it down, tell you what the word means, and then try to sneak it past Kevin in the podcast. And enlighten you all so that when you read it, you go, oh, I know what this means. I'm so smart. I listen to a fantastic Shakespeare podcast. This week, the word of the week is fees. Fees. P-H-E-E-Z-E or F-E-E-Z-E. A verb meaning do for, settle the hash of, or fix. I will fees Kevin's surly attitude when I sneak this word by him this week. Here we go. Welcome to No Holds Barred, the Shakespeare podcast Shakespeare would have listened to. I'm Dan Bollier.
And I'm Kevin Condardo. This week, we'll slip the world, seek justice in Venice, and check in with Laurie Davidson, star of TNT's Will, regarding his quote that the show, quote, takes that dusty thing in history books called William Shakespeare and drags him kicking and screaming into this century, which is a pretty bold claim for a show that will be canceled before the end of the first season.
But also, first, we got that covered.
Yeah, we're here. We're welcome.
Thanks.
Let's duel. In the duel, we choose three questions at the intersection of Shakespeare and the present day and take 45-ish seconds to hash out the best answer. Dan won the coin flip before the show.
Yes, I did.
And has elected to go first. So here we go. Question number one. Jimmy Stewart, who is at Theater Engineer, tweeted us to ask, in the canon, ambition seems to rarely translate to good leadership. See, Richard III, McBee, etc. Yep. Who is the best ruler in the canon? Daniel.
Yes. So for this is actually a question that I think the text itself can answer for you. It's in the text. It is from Pericles. It is the good King Simonides, which is what the fisherman calls him. And the line that Pericles says back to him is, the good King Simonides, do you call him? And the fisherman responds, aye, sir, and he deserves to be called so, for his peaceable reign and good government, which is pretty strong evidence that this is a good leader. I mean,
sure,
his people. And this is someone who's a fisherman. Like, you meet him, like, dragging fish out of the sea. Like, this is not someone who's, like, sitting in a great, amazing apartment being like, yep, life is great. He's like,
sure.
No, he's like, I'm working and my ruler is the man. He takes care of everyone. Also, he wants his daughter to get married. He's leading, like, he's a good guy.
I mean, okay.
I think that he is. He keeps everyone happy. They're having a jousting festival. His daughter gets married to a king. It all works out for him.
All right.
So I'm going to go with Simonides from Pericles, the good king.
The fisherman's choice. I am going to go with a less controversial answer. I'm going to take Henry V.
Okay.
Not just because Henry V is a great character, but we can see how great his rule is based on the fact that the play Henry V ends and Shakespeare's like, yeah, it was pretty uneventful, and then he died.
Yep.
So we're going to skip that and go straight into Henry VI. So however too brief Henry V's reign was, it was so inauspicious. Nope, not inauspicious. So unnotable that Shakespeare's right. Like, it was fine.
It's like an umpire, right? Like the best umpires you don't notice?
Exactly. Nothing interesting enough happened. Nothing of sufficient interest happened during his reign.
Right.
To even warrant an extra scene.
Right.
I'm going to go with Henry V.
All right. Never go wrong with Henry V.
Of Henry V. Question number two. Liz Ayotte posted a video to our Facebook page at facebook.com/NoHoldsBarredcast this week about a Shakespeare in Prisons program that featured a very interesting quote from inmate turned professional actor Damian Brown. He said, quote, I know, usually it's the other way.
Right?
He said, quote, many wear a mask in prison. The beautiful thing was, when you agree to act, you're agreeing to put on another mask, and you can only put that mask on if you take the one you've been wearing off. End quote. Mm-hmm. With that in mind, which of Shakespeare's character masks do you think would be most useful to give to a prisoner? So I think one of the, you know, I've been a part of some Shakespeare in prison programs. I know a lot of people who are very passionate about Shakespeare in prison programs, and I think they really are a great service. I mean, in this video, you can kind of see the difference that it makes in these people's lives. Right. And I think a part of that is because there's a lot, let's just say there are a lot of characters in the canon who act in ways that absolutely would get them put in maximum security prisons.
Right.
So there's something for prisoners of all ends of the spectrum to latch onto.
Sure.
That's how they. That's their entryway. That's their gateway into Shakespeare.
Yep.
But I want to give them something, not perhaps they that they are directly relating to, but something they can take as they move back into society.
Okay.
So I want to give them the most patient prisoner we have in the canon, Hermione from The Winter's Tale.
Fascinating.
That she spends 17 years either as a statue or basically under house arrest, depending on the degree of magic in your production.
Yep.
And then she comes out and she's ready to forgive and forget.
Yeah.
And reacclimate. So, yes, I will give the Hermione mask to our prisoners.
That's amazing. I don't, for listeners at home, we don't talk about these answers, obviously, until we're recording. I have Leontes from The Winter's Tale.
Really?
Yeah. And I think it's because Leontes is one of those roles that really challenges actors in the sense that they're like, I don't know how he can just flip so quickly. And then he makes a decision in one moment, and then his whole life is ruined. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, that's something a prisoner probably can relate to. I know some people who probably just have a bad moment, and then their life is over because they're in jail. But Leontes' journey is one of vengeance, accusation, trial, acceptance, repentance, and eventually forgiveness. So I think, again, that idea of Paulina's line, you must awake your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Is something that I think every prisoner probably could relate to. I'd be more interested to see a prisoner's Leontes than I would an actor's.
Mm.
So interesting. I'll go with Leontes.
Question number three, third and finally, there was another no holds barred flavored question in the Shakespeare subreddit this week that I can't help but dig in on. Redditor Bon Motley writes, I have a stupid idea I've been kicking around. Basically, it would be a reality show with seven Shakespeare characters living together. Mm. Every week, the audience would vote one character off the show. Under that structure, what seven characters would you want to see sharing the house, Daniel?
Sure. So I'm going to call this show King of Kings.
Oh.
And it is, well, unfortunately, well, so I was hoping there would be seven titular kings in Shakespeare's canon.
Uh-huh.
But there aren't. So we have Henry IV, Henry V, Henry VI, King John, Richard II, and Richard III.
Uh-huh.
Giving us six.
One shy.
Unfortunately, there are no other kings, no other plays by Shakespeare with a king in the title. So I'll go with Edward III, which Shakespeare probably wrote part of as our seventh person in the house with Thomas Kidd. Giving us the seven kings.
Is this a goof? Oh, what about King Lear?
There are no other titular kings from the history cycle.
Oh, from the histories, okay.
So that's what I'm talking about here.
I get it. I get the goof and the sub-goof. Very good, for those of you scoring at home.
So Edward III, Richard III, Richard II, King John, Henry IV, Henry V, Henry VI, living in King of Kings, and the winner gets to take over the house and become the ultimate king.
Cool. The King of Kings.
King of Kings.
All right. I went in a different direction on this because I was like, you could just have it be Twelfth Night. Twelfth Night is basically a reality show, really, when you break it down. But in the spirit of the great reality show stars like Mike Mizanin of The Real World, I want somebody in this house who knows how to put on a show, stir the pot, agitate.
Be generally awesome.
So with that, I'm taking my seven favorite agitators who aren't afraid to like start to scrap.
Awesome.
So that's going to be Falstaff,
uh-huh.
Touchstone,
okay.
Barone, Autolycus,
okay.
Beatrice,
yep.
Mariah, and Kate.
Wow, wow. Great house.
There's going to be some chaos in that
house.
And I mean, you know, between, you know, with the three girls, Kate and Beatrice will get along famously until they do not.
Right.
Mariah will work that both ways.
Right.
With the boys, you know, Touchstone will never... I mean, who's going to... All of those four boys are cowards.
Fault. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, all the four boys will. Yeah, I mean.
It's going to be a hefty. Like, the kitchen in that place is going to be a disaster.
Well, that's why you have Mariah there. And that is how we duel. If you have a question you'd like to see featured in a future edition of The Duel, please send it our way. We are at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. We are on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. We are on Twitter at noholdsbarredcast. And we are on Facebook at facebook.com/noholdsbarredcast. Daniel.
Yes.
Shall we do some homework?
Please.
Perchance you wonder at this show, but wonder on till truth makes all things plain.
This is the part of the program where I pull a Shakespearean homework question from the internet, and Dan and I do our best to pull together a coherent answer, no matter how stupid the question or how pressing the deadline. Mm-hmm. This episode's question comes from Yahoo Answers user Timothy, under the heading, does Shylock receive justice? They ask, does Shylock from Shakespeare's Merchant of Venice receive justice in court? And please, don't comment with do your own homework. I say he doesn't because, one, the court is biased towards Shylock because he is a Jew. Mm-hmm. Two, Antonio and Shylock signed a legal bond and therefore deserve his bond. Three, the court refuses to show mercy to a broken Shylock, instead taking half his property and forcing him to change his religion. So, Daniel,
yes.
Does Shylock from Shakespeare's Merchant of Venice receive justice in court?
Can you repeat the third point that he makes?
Yes, the third point. The court refuses to show mercy to a broken Shylock, instead taking half his property and forcing him to change his religion.
I think Timothy has this question answered correctly. I do not believe that Shylock receives justice, although I guess the argument of Portia and the play is that mercy is more important than justice.
I guess that the quality of mercy is not strained monologue. He kind of goes through that.
Yeah, I feel like the justice system in Venice is broken.
Sure.
Someone just rolls in. Someone who is not a judge or a lawyer rolls in and is like, I'll take care of this case. And they're like, yeah, you can do that.
I've got a note.
Right. This is me. Like, I tried to reset a password today and the person was like, I can't do that for you. I'm like, it's me. It's honestly my account. Like, you have no proof. If that was now, like, Portia gets thrown out. She doesn't even get in the courtroom.
Right.
You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
So I don't think Shylock receives justice at all. I don't think anyone does. I don't think justice really exists in this world.
Interesting.
And I think the points that Timothy lays out here are pretty... The court is biased.
Sure.
Antonio and Shylock did sign the bond. That is true. And the court does not show mercy. They ask for mercy from him, and then they don't give it back to him. And then they convert him against his will.
Well, point two and three are factually incorrect here.
I will take the
opposite side.
Go on.
Antonio and Shylock signed a legal bond and therefore deserve his bond. And he gets his bond. Portia gives him what he is contractually assigned to, which is the pound of flesh. But there's no paperwork in there about the blood and the entrails there, too. That's what the whole point of the play is.
Oh, yes, yes.
So he got his legal bond was met.
I see.
So that is just wrong.
But is that at the heart of what is that at the heart of justice? I guess is a bigger question.
Well, and Shylock was saying, well, the whole lead up in that scene is, I want what's in my bond, and they're like, hey, are you sure? I mean, it's a trap that Portia knows. Like, are you sure you want exactly that?
Yeah.
Like, let's take what's behind door number two. Just come on, let's get out of here.
Make a deal.
And then, all right, you sure? You sure? Final answer. Wrong answer. You get nothing. You lose. Good day.
Ah, yes.
And then question three. The court refuses to show mercy to a broken Shylock, of course, is because he refused to show mercy. But they do give him a break on the full punishment. The judge says that he is sentenced to death and all of his goods and titles are forfeit. And Antonio says, you can live if you give half of your stuff to Jessica.
Right.
And the rest to go to them upon your death.
Right.
And and then the caveat for him being able to like live and continue is that he changes religions.
But in the example you just gave, the aforementioned quote-unquote judge is Portia, who is not a judge.
No, Portia's the lawyer. There is a judge who passes down the sentence.
I see.
It's
the Duke?
Yeah, the Duke. Because the Duke is the one that hands down... Right. The Duke has the line that thou shalt see the difference of our... After he's been stuck and Portia pins him... That thou shalt see the difference of our spirits, I pardon thee thy life before thou ask it. For half thy wealth it is Antonio's, the rest shall come to the general state. So the Duke is the one who makes the ultimate decision. He is judge and jury. Portia is just the prosecuting attorney, or the defense attorney, I guess.
So that's interesting. So the Duke is the judge. If someone who's ruling over his position is named, is not legally based, it's based on status.
Uh-huh.
So that already indicates to me that this is a corrupt system of government.
Well, he decided to preside over his system. The same thing happens in Measure for Measure. I mean, I think that
also,
I mean, James, we talked about in the So You're Going to See last week about how James presided over like the execution of a pickpocket, James the First.
Right.
So it's like when you are the Duke or the King, like you are the law.
Right.
You know? So
I just feel like that doesn't get too justice.
Well, it could. I mean, what is justice is the bigger question.
I think that's the question that we need to dig in on here.
Let's go to our producer behind the glass to get a definition on what justice is.
Well, justice is apparently a tween clothing and fashion for girls. www.shopjustice.com.
So we all know in the First Folio you can read that Shylock gets that great new outfit when he converts to Christianity from justice.com.
Right. He gets rid of the gabardine. Shopjustice.com. He gets a sweet tween. Fashion.
Love those tween fashions in Shakespeare's Merchant of Venice.
Right.
Okay.
So that's what Shylock gets. Justice. A noun meaning just behavior or treatment. A judgment, a judge or magistrate. In particular, a judge of the Supreme Court. So we're talking about the noun justice, and then like the person being a justice. So just behavior or treatment. I hate when they use the word in the definition. Mrs. Sweeney, my fifth grade like lit art teacher, made sure that if we ever used the word in the definition, it was big time trouble for us.
Uh-huh.
And this is a goddamn dictionary doing it.
Uh-huh. What esteemed publication are you referring to?
Google.
You get what you pay for. So I would argue that, I mean, he gets what, you know, if your point is that there's the bond, he gets what's in his bond.
Nah, we must not make a scarecrow of the law, though, Kev.
Well, they don't. They give him what's in his bond.
Write
better. I've always said Merchant of Venice is a play about contract law.
You have always said that.
And
that is true.
That is what he gets. This is why you have a lawyer. You don't dabble in contracts because you end up in this situation.
Well, apparently there are no goddamn lawyers in this goddamn city.
Well,
Portia rolls in.
She's not a lawyer.
She's not a lawyer. That's how good she is that she can just show up and do it. Anyone could do. Like, imagine if someone rolled up that wasn't like if Johnny Cochran was just like, I'm here. Who just won this case? Okay.
Yeah.
You guys come to me for your contracts from now on.
If the gabardine don't fit, you must acquit. That is First Folio.
Oh, we're not going to agree on this one. Sorry.
It's agree to disagree.
But there you go. There's something that we can...
I think, Timothy, I think you're right. I think you nailed it. You have your three paragraphs. You have a five in my book, Tim.
Well, there you go, Tim. Enjoy your two. Everyday Shakes.
A2, Tim.
Oh.
Yes, lads.
This is the section of the show where we pull a phrase from Shakespeare and show you how to use it in your everyday conversation. This week's phrase is, let the world slip, we shall ne'er be younger, as featured in scene 2 of the induction of Taming of the Shrew. Let's hear the phrase in context. Your honors players, hearing your amendment, are come to play a pleasant comedy. For so your doctors hold it very meet, seeing too much sadness hath congealed your blood, and melancholy is the nurse of frenzy. Therefore they thought it good you hear a play, and frame your mind to mirth and merriment, which bars a thousand harms and lengthens life.
Marry, I will. Let them play it. Is not a comedy a Christmas jambled or a tumbling trick?
No, my good lord, it is more pleasing stuff.
What? Household stuff?
It is a kind of history.
Well, we'll see it. Come, madam wife, sit by my side and let the world slip. We shall ne'er be younger.
That was Let the World Slip, We Shall Ne'er Be Younger, from scene two of the induction of Taming of the Shrew. Dan, you want to give us some context on
Absolutely.
This?
Absolutely. So, scene two of the induction, we have the induction scene one, then the plays scene one, and then the induction pops back in. Basically, Sly, who now believes he is a lord, but has also been drinking pots of ale. Mm-hmm. Continually, they're like, it's basically like the bit from Hamlet where like the players are here, and he's like, cool, let's see a play,
right?
And the messenger is like, there's a whole bit with a page who's like, I'm your wife, and he's like, you're not my wife, and she's like, no, seriously, I'm your wife, and he's like, okay,
sure,
why not? I don't know where I am, I don't know what's going on, I'm a lord, you're my wife, sure, let's just see a play. And this line, it's sort of, to me, this is Shakespeare being brilliant, that out of an induction and out of like frivolity, he just slips in a right hook that like knocks your head off.
Right.
Which is Sly being like, you know what? Screw it. Let's just say yes right now because we're not getting any younger. And all of a sudden out of gibberish and just like drunken rambling, there's a moment of real poignancy, which Let the World Slip. In this case, we're looking at slip, meaning like, well, according to Shakespeare'sWords.com, slip has five different verb definitions: fail to hold, fail to keep, err, sin, or transgress, leave unasserted, or just allow to leave or pass over.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the last. In this case, yeah, it's one of the latter ones, which is like, forget the world. Forget everything else. Right now we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's watch a comedy.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. It's all this other stuff is going to be happening around us, but right now it's you and it's me.
Yep.
And let's just focus on us.
Let's do the dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great line.
So I think, I think when you start down this road, it is a very romantic, very romantic sentiment. Whether it's, it's that if you have something with someone, that shouldn't be taken for granted, and you're like, let's go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Let's dive in.
But it also doesn't have to be a romantic love. No. It can be, I think it's like a familial love. Like, this is kind of like Cats in the Cradle type of thing.
And the Silver Spoon.
Yeah, sure. Little Boy Blue, Man in the Moon, et al. But you have, if you're not there for, the first steps or whatever, like, it's never coming back, right?
What do you mean?
Like, just thinking of like Cats in the Cradle, where it's like he misses all these major key points.
Sure.
And then he turns around and he's like, oh, missed it.
Yep.
Missed that entire childhood. We'll never be younger.
Oh, you know, heavy. Yeah, I like it.
But it's the opposite of if you don't let the world slip.
I see.
If you hold on to the world.
Right.
This
is also, I feel like this is the lukewarmiest response to a marriage proposal possible. Like, will you marry me? It's like, sure. Let the world slip. We should never be younger.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that whole sense of if you're dragging your feet in something.
I know.
And you finally have to just be like, let's go.
Yeah,
let's,
exactly. Let's dive in. That's the positive way that I probably should have. It's like, if you want to learn guitar or you want to go skydiving.
Yeah, right.
It's like, you want to write a novel. Like,
right.
Let's go. Let the world slip. I know everybody thinks you want to start a Shakespeare podcast in your basement.
Hey.
Let the world slip.
We shall ne'er be younger.
And we're getting older every time we do this.
Right?
So,
we're older now than when this podcast started. That's a fact.
We are much older.
Yeah. No, I mean, this episode.
Very much so. It's these can be your words as you charge into battle to take a risk. What you said about, like, say yes. Saying yes to life.
That's it.
Let the world slip.
2017. Let the world slip. We shall ne'er be younger.
Well, like, it may be slipping, and we shall ne'er be younger.
Right?
But
this is like the mantra of every midlife crisis.
Yeah, right.
Like, if you're out there, and you're like, I'm going to go home. I'm going to buy a Mustang convertible on the way home today because YOLO.
Let the world slip.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You drive it. You pull in. You hop out, and your spouse is like, what the hell is that? Hey, Let the world slip. We shall never be younger. Mm. And put that roof down, hop in the car, and go for a spin.
Let's go.
That's it. Oof. It's also like a classic dad line, I think, if like the kids are running late. Or a mom line, if the kids are running late. And they're upstairs like, hey, we're leaving at 8:05 on the dot. And it's like 8:07. I don't know. I always had that growing up where it's like, car's leaving you behind, we're going. Mm-hmm. If you want to like spice it up, parents listening to the podcast, let the world slip. We'll never be younger. Like, gonna miss the train, mm-hmm. gonna miss the plane. Mm-hmm. This could be a nice.
That's interesting.
You know? Or if you just give up, it's like 8:15, like, screw it. I'm sitting down, I'm having some bacon, reading a paper. Well, I love bacon.
Bacon?
Yeah. All right. Cooks fast. I like flaccid bacon. Only bacon.
What are some other ways that we could use this phrase in our everyday context?
You know what? I've been more daring in my dining of late.
Oh.
Where it's like, my poor parents. I grew up like, I eat chicken mm-hmm. and steak. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, 5-year-old Danny, what's your favorite food? Steak.
What a dick.
Like, you know, like, sorry. Didn't eat much of anything else. Uh-huh. And now I'm like, I'll try anything. But it's a good thing, I think, if you're like, I don't eat calamari.
Sure.
But here we are. It's in front of us.
Right.
Let the world slip. Yeah. As you like dunk it in this sauce.
Here we go.
We shall never be younger. Pop it in your mouth and then right? like run to the bathroom and throw up.
Well, I discovered you're allergic to scallops as I did when I tried scallops. Yeah, but you know what? You let the world slip. You take a shot. So what? Yeah. You have a rough couple of days where you're worshiping at the porcelain altar. You know, if that's the worst outcome,
that's it.
You know, offer does not apply if you have like a peanut allergy that like
kills you.
Yeah, that's less so.
Yeah.
Don't let the world slip that much.
That's
don't
nuts.
Let the world drop. You know, let's slip a little bit.
Well, I mean, mild allergies you could always take care of later.
Hopefully.
You could. Just a little EpiPen, feed it at the hospital,
let's
figure it out.
Let's just say to our listening audience that we are not doctors.
Definitively not.
Emphatic non-doctors.
We are doctors in Venice, and that's about the only place.
When you can just roll up with a note from Epstein.
Can we go back to that? I hate this play.
We'll save that for when we do. What was that thing that we were talking about doing like the mock trial?
Wow. Oh, sorry, wrong person.
Plugs, corrections, banter, word of the week. I am shocked and appalled.
Hey,
which
sorry.
Takes some doing after what
right?
we've been through here.
Yeah, you know, that makes me feel proud. Proud and excited.
I'm glad you feel something. I had drinks with the Boston angler, Liam Billingham, himself this afternoon.
I'm so sorry.
And he got on my case a little bit because he pointed out that all the times he's written in, he's probably our most constant contributor with dual questions.
Sure.
And he got on my case a little bit that for all the questions he writes in, I haven't been mentioning his Twitter handle when I read them, and he thought that was a very me thing to do, to constantly not mention it.
You say it every time.
I don't. I say the Boston angler Liam Billingham, but I don't. And that's because that's like the rhythm of his name now.
Sure.
I always forget it. So I just wanted to say to Liam, my deepest apologies for not mentioning your Twitter handle.
Oh, apology accepted. I think that we should give a hearty what up and shout out from your boys here at No Holds Barred to our dear friend,
yeah,
Gosling, mm-hmm. She was recently tweeting about catching up on No Holds Barred. And I'm sort of envious that I'm already caught up on what we're doing. I would love to go back and listen to us like fresh for the first time.
So
it just feels, I'm a little envious. For those of you who aren't following Mia, what the hell is wrong with you? You need to do that. It's good tickle brain on all the social medias. And she and I are working on some more Hamilton comics. So we have the Tomb Where It Happened, spoilers, is coming out soon. And very, very honored, honestly, to be a part of that. She basically put up like a Facebook status that she was working on it. And I replied, being like, hi, remember me? I helped you with the first two.
Yeah.
Want my help? And then I had an email the next like,
hour.
Oh, so
you didn't get invited back. She was ready to go on without
you. No,
no,
she wasn't ready to invite me yet. Mm. But she was happy to have me back, I think. I'm going to speak for her here.
I'll speak for her as a regular artistic partner of yours and say, I guess you're still here.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's what I do, just hanging around. So, Mia and Kevin, both of you, You're welcome.
We made a few tweaks to our Patreon page this week so that you can check out at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. Long story short, we've been talking about making like annual gifts, but it turns out...
GIFs.
It turns out you can't actually do that on Patreon because they do like monthly rewards. So now we're setting the threshold at $3 a month to get your No Holds Barred goodies. If you contribute at that level through January 1st, you will get on our 12th night card list for next year.
Wonderful.
A few of our 12th night card gift recipients have been generous enough to the rest of you to post those up on Twitter if you want to get an idea what our scrawlings were and what you can be in for if you pledge that $3 a month. Yeah. The other thing that because that's not all the way until next year, Dan and I have been kind of going back and forth about other perks that we could give to listeners. Yes. For those monthly, if you are a monthly pledger, patron. The one thing that we don't want to do is we are not interested in episodes that are like behind a paywall because we want all of our episodes to be free for all.
Or pay what you will.
So if you have ideas for things that aren't that are peripheral to the podcast itself, that
nude pics.
Sorry?
Nude pics.
From Dan, which he will contribute to pledgers or non-pledgers. Basically, if you give him your phone number, Snapchat.
I would never Snapchat those sort of things.
Why? Because you want them to last?
Yeah.
Gross. If you have ideas that are better than Dan's, which is why I'm kind of in a rut because I have nobody to bounce these things off of, send them our way. Tweet them at us.
You're in a rut because there are no better ideas than mine. That's what I'm going to go with.
Please help me. Both on this and all other fronts.
And in life.
With ideas.
If you're looking for a room in Brooklyn, just...
Seriously. And before we go off of Patreon, we want to thank our newest Patreon donor, Rachel M., who jumped on our Patreon bandwagon to get 2017 started off right. So thank you, Rachel M.
I believe it's actually Rachel...
Goodbye, Rachel M. Thank you for your patronage.
Speaking of Patreon and not hopping off Patreons or hopping off of Rachel's, at Props Pony, who was one of the lucky recipients of one of our cards, has tweeted out, all I have to say about my card is words, 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 hashtag still cup champs, hashtag Bertram, hashtag hysterical. Because on her card, we basically talked about the best role in the canon for Sidney Crosby.
Pittsburgh Penguins star.
And star of Team Canada and general star of hockey. Great, fantastic hockey player. Love Sidney.
Friend of the pod,
Sidney Crosby. To which No Holds Barred cast responded, a hit, a very palpable hit. Mm-hmm. To which Kevin Condardo, who is at Fear Strikes Out, responded like 18 seconds later. Mm-hmm. You can tell it was a good hit because Crosby immediately flopped and started looking for a call.
It's good. It's a good goof. I came up with that in 18 seconds. That's pretty good.
You just laughed at your own joke on the podcast. The whole point of
me
bringing this up was that you are setting and spiking your own jokes now, which I brought up on Twitter, and I'm bringing it up here because this is inconceivable.
Well, I mean,
this is collusion yourself.
Or is it not, Your Honor, a good goof?
It's a pretty good goof.
Right.
But
I rest my case.
I at least, as someone who loves the goof and loves the game, give it like a minute and a half before you hop in there.
I don't need to f***ing impress you.
Good. I responded to that on Twitter from my account, @DanBonos. Mm. And if you want to know what I said, just follow me.
Yeah, you know, I think it's actually, we had a couple of instances in this past week. We've never really plugged our individual, I haven't plugged our my Twitter handle.
I've plugged my handle.
Oh, my God. If we could get fired, we would be getting fired this week. I'm at Fear Strikes Out on Twitter. Dan is at Dan Bonos, DanBauKnows.
Yes.
You should follow us because now we've gotten... Now that we know that people are actually inexplicably paying attention, we're using the Twitterverse to settle our everyday bullshit arguments.
Yep.
And so if you want to help, I am constantly going against a sea of iniquities when I argue with Dan. So help me out by being our judge here.
The guy doesn't know what the color green is.
I'm going to kill you.
Just saying.
And then the Fahrenheit 451 Catch-22 thing.
I think Catch-22 is the obvious answer.
Catch-22!
I don't think you
did.
That
was my answer!
I don't think so.
I can't
even. According to Twitter, I said Catch-22.
I hate you.
And the feeling is mutual. At Real Mr. Kimball, James Kimball, tweets, "You guys are a delight.
Well,
love the pod." Correct. That's correct. He also tweets, "A good line for everyday shakes," or whatever, would be, quote, "He is a lion I am proud to hunt," from Coriolanus. Now, I would like to propose, as the person who chooses the everyday Shakespeare quotes, that this will be the next line on the next episode.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. But we appreciate people reaching out and giving us ideas.
Yeah, absolutely.
So those ideas should be rewarded. So at Real Mr. Kimball, this one's to you. And we'll do that line for you on the next episode.
Oh, so it's like a teaser? Like
that's a teaser.
All right.
And it's like, to say, hey, everyone else, we're here.
We're here.
Talk to us.
Yeah.
Get at us, bruh.
Yeah, I mean, we need, you know, give us those dual questions we're on the hunt for. If you want to get recommended lines, tweet at us. We like to get that Twitter presence. We have a nice little Twitter presence going. It'd be nice to keep building on that.
It's also interesting because I've been hanging out with people who listen to the show.
Weird.
Who are like, well, I mean, they're friends.
No, I mean, it's weird that people listen.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. No, I just look people up. I just find them. I hang out.
Well.
Anyway, and they're like, oh, I have a great question for you guys. And I'm like, send it. Tweet it. Why not tweet it? Like, nah, I don't want to tweet it. Like, you guys have questions. Like, seriously, that's a great question. Please tweet it.
Guys, we need the questions.
Fucking need the questions.
We need them.
Hello. My name is Dan. I'm sorry to interrupt your commute to work today. I was recently burnt out of my house. I need Twitter questions for the dual segment. Please. And if you can't give a question, a smile would be greatly appreciated. Safe travels and have a blessed day.
I wonder what happened to that guy in the N train who coached basketball, asked for smiles if he didn't have money. Did you ever run into that guy? He had one finger.
Yeah. He got off. I saw him get off at Union Square and go to his apartment.
Friend of the podcast. Coach
apartment
Happy.
Guy.
Speaking of helping us out on social media, if you could help us, if you're not going to, I feel like this whole, I've just been begging people for this whole segment.
Too much begging. Hey, everyone, go f*** yourselves.
Right. Let's get back on track here. But now that you're back from that, which sounded like fun, we are, if you could help us out by giving us a rating or review on iTunes, we would really appreciate it. This week, we got a fresh review from iTunes user Start Seeing Minivans, who reviewed us by writing, "Best Shakespeare podcast by two dorks, period."
We're nerds! We've discussed this.
But I wonder, what I'm unclear about, is it best Shakespeare podcast by two dorks? Or is it in the category of two dork podcasts, we're the best of the Shakespeares?
I'll take either, honestly.
I got best. You had me at best.
Right? I think we're the best Shakespeare podcast, period.
Right.
By two dorks. But we're not dorks, we're nerds. So I'm going to run this guy over in my minivan.
Well,
I'm going to steal a minivan and run him over.
You got to start seeing those.
Or minivans. Her over. I don't care who it is. I'm running them over.
Someone. Maybe it's just a minivan. But yeah, we could really use those ratings, those reviews. Very much appreciated. Help us get some traction in our war against all other Shakespeare podcasts.
By four dorks or three dorks or any dorks.
All the dorks.
We're coming after you, dorks. These nerds have beef. Upcoming, we have the Shakespeare Theater Association Conference in Baltimore next week. Actually, a week from today, we'll be landing in Baltimore. We will be there, and we're hoping that we'll see any of the Shakespeare listeners from around the country.
Yeah,
who are, you know, this is the nerdiest, dorkiest convention of all.
ShakesCon.
Well, that's probably not the truth. It's one of the nerdiest, dorkiest conventions of all.
Oh, in terms of all conventions?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not even close.
Not even close.
It's, well, it's the nerdiest Shakespeare convention, I would posit.
That's good. What I love about this conference, if you're not in the know, listeners.
Oh, my.
There are 6 hours a day scheduled to drink. This is not a joke.
This is not
on
a
the itinerary.
This is the real thing.
For everyone. We're talking about the global leaders of Shakespeare. Utah Shakes, The Globe, Seven Stages. All of us are scheduled to drink.
Yes!
To drink together. That's a thing that we do. So if you aren't going,
I don't care. If you are going, we'd love to see you and hang out, preferably around microphones.
Yeah, feel free to buy us a drink.
Buy us a drink. We'll hang out. We'll talk. It'd be great. Mm. Also coming up in the Shakespeare world, heading out to San Jose. Oh. Officially, got the dates. Early February. February. Too much information. I'm not going to give you the exact
early February.
Dates. Early Febtober. I'll be heading out there to work with senior citizens because good man. And also to direct Hamlet, a reading at the Shakespeareans in San Jose.
Oh, West Coast.
Now, Skylar Collins, are you listening? Skylar, do you hear me? Mm. If you're listening, I want you to get at me immediately on Facebook or Twitter. I will not give you my email. You can email us at noholdsbarredcast@gmail.com.
No, it's actually noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com.
Ah, damn it. Oh, well. Close. And I think you're in that area, Skylar. I think we should work together. So let's do this.
What, have him come in for the beer?
I have a great role for him in Hamlet. So if you want to be involved, you would get 3 hours of my time and then also get to be in a show with some really good actors, which might be nice for you.
I'm very sad that I wouldn't be able to be there for that interaction. I'll
Skype you in.
It'll be like the mega powers explode. I'm very excited.
No. It'd be one mega power, me. And like, what's the opposite of a mega power? Ruop a gem.
Great goof.
Ruop a gem. That fucking Ruop a gem, Skylar Collins.
Oh, God.
Ruop a gem.
What did you call me?
That's right.
The Italians are a proud people. I don't have it. Do you have anything else?
I have so much more.
Go for
it. What is up with Nick Nelson's Twitter game? I don't get it.
But
I don't
know
what he's doing. He's trolling us, and I'm upset by it. Mostly I'm just upset because I think I'm running out of bourbon. But Nick, by running out, I mean we have like 3/4 of a bottle left, which is running out in this apartment.
You can't blame that on Nick.
Yes, I can.
Oh, good for you.
So in the last 2 weeks, he has sent us a gif of a guy playing cricket getting his balls hit, and he comments that this is the same as listening to our podcast.
Well,
we had a whole thread going about hockey, and he asked us if we're watching soccer.
Because we talked about flopping.
I understand that, but this is a hockey thread. Nick, get out of here with that soccer.
Nick doesn't, no one's ever introduced Nick to hockey. I've talked about this. We should take him to a hockey game.
I'd love to do that.
He should take us to a hockey game.
That sounds great.
Yeah, all right.
Nick. That's why I watch him hockey. Mm. Also, there was a whole like weird measure for measure song lyric mashup thing he was doing, which was great, but it had no hashtags, so I just disrespected it as a Twitter.
Like, there are rules. We live in a society.
How can I would have hopped on board if there was a hashtag. Mm. There was no hashtag. Mm. So, Nick Nelson, want to hang out?
We'll see you at the Islanders.
Let's go. Let's go, Isles. What else do I have? That's pretty much everything I have. I have one more thing. Very important. We are now officially, Kev, and this is on the internet, so it's real.
Oh.
We are Shakespeare champions.
How so? Tell me more about this.
I'm not going to do that. That's just what we are.
Shakespeare. Is it on the internet?
Champions of Shakespeare.
On the internet in the sense that you just said it and it will be put on the internet?
That's correct. Yes, and 2017.
You know what?
Let the world slip. We shall never be younger, but we shall certainly always be Shakespeare champions.
The Shakespeare tag team champions of the world?
Yes, indeed.
Well, all right. Well, if anybody wants to challenge us for those titles... Oh, damn it. Wait, hold on. Put a pin in that. Word of the week. I don't know what it was.
Oh, it was fees.
F-E-E-Z-E?
Well done. Or P-H-E-E-Z-E.
That's the rapper, right?
Yeah, that's Feezy.
What does fees mean?
To fix or... Oh, wait a minute. Let me get this verbatim.
To fees.
To fees. This was one of those definitions that when I read it, I was like, it makes less sense now. The definition of fees is to, quote, settle the hash of...
The hell does that mean?
Correct. I don't know. It also means to do for or to fix.
To Eric do for?
Oh, what's up, Eric Dufour? Friend of the pod. Great friend of the pod. Great guy. Tremendous. From Taming of the Shrew, I'll fees you in faith. Or from Troilus and Cressida, and he be proud with me, I'll fees his pride. Mm. Like, I think it means to fix. So I used it this episode. You'll probably cut it out because it's what you do every week. But I said we can fees that in post.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll cut it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, back to Shakespeare Champions of the World, the tag team Shakespeare Champions of the World. If anyone wants to contest us for those titles, you can let us know by emailing us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. You can come at us on Twitter at noholdsbarredcast, or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/noholdsbarredcast. So, on behalf of the Seven Stages Shakespeare Company, oh, shoot. We forgot to check in with Will, which I have now been informed, yes, it's been canceled. Ah, well. We'll try harder next time. Till then, my name is Kevin.
I'm DB. This rhyme is gonna come at any sec to me.
Nah, too many syllables.
Adieu, 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 adieu.